Thank you. I would not want to go into detail with all the work packages. You've heard from Sean that we have three work packages. We'll probably come back to them in the discussion. What I would want to do is to present the overall idea of the project and the underlying or overarching question, so to say, and to pull out what we can pull out from the work packages. And I'm hoping on a very fruitful discussion as well to get your ideas, your comments on what we are doing after we have presented our perceptions, our views, and what we are planning to do. As Shana said, EDC 2020, it sounds like a crystal ball project. What do we know what could happen in 2020? It's quite a while to go. And looking back, what we knew about Development Corporation nowadays, 20 years ago, would probably have given you a completely different picture from what we have now. So there are ruptures in development as well. There are ruptures in international relations that you cannot foresee. So it's not about any foresight project, as in we are telling you what the world is, but more it's like where are different trends that we can draw conclusions from that we think are likely to impact on the discussion on international development for its foreseeable future. And it's various different scenarios that you can come up with, various different futures that you can come up with. There's not the one thing we are prescribing. On the issues you've heard, as I said, I didn't want to go into detail on the specific work packages, but you've heard three big issues, just to recall them: new actors in international development, deliberately saying not new donors, but new actors, it's a broader agenda there. Development policy, energy security and democracy is one thing, which is more on the coherence side. How do you get these different agendas together? How do they play together? And the third one is development and climate change as a big challenge. All these three issues, I was quite pleased to find as well on the plenary session yesterday on the slides of Charles Gore. They were the first three points that he came up with as well. It's probably not the most surprising issues there, but we think those are the long-term trends that we need to consider in the discussion. Putting together what we would want to do and what the idea behind it is, two issues, two things we ask ourselves: which are the issues on the development agenda to 2020, and basically, in very simple terms, who should address them? We have seen quite a few changes in Development Corporation lately, in particular in European Development Corporation. There has been a lot of change over the last decade. We do have some sort of consensus now on the European level what we want to achieve, what the goal of Development Corporation in the European Union is, and on the international level. There are the Millennium Development Goals, there are other issues we come up with every once in a while, and we start discussing whether that is sufficient for development, but still this is the set that we are working with. We will face, as these goals we have defined are attached to certain end dates where we should achieve them, or where we should have made substantial progress, we will face until 2020 sometimes where we have to take count of where we are. We have to look back and see whether we can use them to continue, or whether we have to come up with something else to find a more realistic, possibly also something that we can carry forward. I'm trying not to make a judgment here, it sounded as if I'm biased against the Millennium Development Goals. I'm not, just saying this is what we have to work from. And we have to prepare for both the positive scenario that is possible, meaning we have made substantial progress, and the negative one, meaning we have failed on quite a number of them. This is different things we will come up with after having made that assessment. So that's the one thing. I think what we might come up in the discussion as well to 2020 is a further differentiation of developing countries. We do see that it's not all least developed countries. When we talk about development, I have the feeling that very often we have least developed countries in mind as the major targets for developing a development policy. But there are also different sets of problems in fragile states, for instance, or in the emerging powers, very different settings with regard to what we can do there, what we want to do there, and how we can do it. So poverty or security, or is it rather managing global governance issues? What are the instruments we are using? Are we trying to build capacities in these states? Are we trying to build a nation, first of all, in some sort, very ambitious. Or like cooperation and technology is probably not the most appropriate form for one or the other form of countries we're addressing. But there are issues behind differentiation of developing countries that we need to take into account, I think, for the foreseeable future, and might probably want to go back and see where the how we can arrange for the goals and who which are the most appropriate one for which situation. Looking at the development cooperation side now, so what can we do in there? We have, I think, two big questions in it. One big one that comes up every once in a while in discussion is aid architecture, and what, how we organize the way we are dealing with developing countries. Within the EU, we have had discussions, as I said, some progress over the last decade. We have had discussion, and the newest one is a code of division of labor, a code of conduct for a division of labor. How do we organize a better division of labor? How do we, in other words, sort out the system without dreaming of revolutionizing it, but rather work within the system and make it more rational and more appropriate for the topics? It sounds very technical. It is not going to be easy for political underlying rationales there. But it's something that is going to stay around until 2020, I'm quite sure. Beyond the EU, there's also issues about which actors are engaged. UN is one big issue, UN reform, who's doing what. But there are also new actors you can see, and I'm not just speaking of China and India, but I'm also speaking of the increasing creation of global funds or vertical lines. And these are all very different instruments that operate alongside each other. At best, they are somehow coordinated. Most of the times, they are not. So that's a big issue that we have to address, I think. It comes back, I think, to the question of what should development policy address, as in a narrow focus. Is that something we try to keep in one hand, development cooperation, and try to avoid proliferation of external affairs in other areas? I think it's not a very viable option. But what exactly is the role of development cooperation? That mainstreaming development is a nice word. You can say, well, what does it mean, and how do you achieve it in the organizational setup? We have heard a number of papers on issues within this package over this conference, and there's going to be more discussion on these. Policy coherence, for instance, is going to be an issue that is going to stay around. What does it mean by policy coherence for what? We've had discussion in the working group on aid policy, for instance, on that. We have a number of reforms pending, don't know yet whether they will happen with the Lisbon Treaty. I would assume that it does happen, but still, what are the implications of the institutional reforms at the European level? We don't know quite yet. And we assume, and that's the initial idea of this project, we assume that there is a window of opportunity in certain situations where there is a big change happening, where you can address issues for getting the future of development cooperation on track and identify certain steps on the way, where are risks, where are opportunities, and get going with that. And as I said, there are three work packages from which we want to take it, so as not to make it too lofty, but use three areas and then draw the information together, which I'm not exploring on at the moment. We'll probably come back on it in the discussion. These three will hopefully inform our project, EEC 2020, that we can, in the end, summarize what we've learned, where the big issues actually are, and what the opportunities, the risks, the chances of reform are. I hope I've given you some sort of an outline of what we are doing, and I'd like to stop here to give a thought to the other two speakers and really engage with you in discussion afterwards, as I'm hoping to draw some of your insight into our project as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Sven.